The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Good morning. We're here today with patient care managers Rebecca Schwering and Dwayne Odell. They're both RNs here at Rush Memorial Hospital. Thank you so much for coming in today. Could you please explain what is a patient care manager?
Our role is to get to know our patient and then help them navigate their health needs. Our goal is to help them take charge of their health through education and support. Together, we would like to kind of identify what struggles they have, what hurdles they face, and then let them guide us in helping them set goals that they hope to meet, and we can decide or help them decide how to meet those goals, whether to provide education, little mini sessions, make them aware of resources that are available out in the community.
You said that you want to get to know your patients as individuals and know what their health conditions are and how you can help them learn to manage those conditions better, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So are you doing this for every patient or any patient who wants it? How does a patient come to you?
Typically, the patient will need a referral from their primary care provider if they have been given a diagnosis of a new disease process. They could be referred to our office. We also can help people just be healthy.
Well, that sounds like a fabulous resource. I don't think very many people are aware of it. I have heard that you have a new program called the Population Health Program. What exactly does that mean? What is population health?
As care managers, we are part of our focus is going to be the population health. And population health is basically it's a group of people, whether it's diabetics, whether it's COPDers, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or any type of disease process, that's going to be our audience that we're going to be addressing and make that population more healthy.
So you're taking a set of people who all share a particular characteristic, in this case, a particular disease or health problem, and you're helping them all to improve their health as individuals and as a group.
Correct. We're starting out individually, but we at one time, eventually, we're going to try to maybe get groups, but I think we're going to work individually, and if they need to, we can hook them up with groups, diabetic groups, or other groups that are in the community. We can get them to look to those resources for support groups.
So it's going to start out as basically you being one-on-one with patients.
Correct, and that way we can kind of get them educated and give them the tools to help them prepare for their disease and equip them whatever they need.
So you basically coach patients with chronic illnesses and how to manage their health? Is that what you're doing?
We are most definitely a health coach. We hope to be a coach, an advocate, a friend, a resource. Everyone needs preventative care. Some people just don't realize that their insurance companies offer that. So our goal is to get that information out there. We can help schedule appointments. We can, for those people with chronic diseases, we can make sure that they know what they need to do in order to help manage those diseases. For like a diabetic, they need their A1C drawn maybe every 3 months, every 6 months. We can help them keep those schedules, make sure that they have a big understanding of the big picture, and then help them break it down into smaller sections that seems more manageable so that they are staying healthy and preventing those hospital visits, ER visits, those things.
If you have two diabetics who come in and you're coaching them one-on-one, each of them, are you going to do the exact same thing with both of those two patients?
Our goal is to kind of get to know that person and figure out how they learn the best, and then we can tweak that education to match that learning style. They're in control. We're just here to help.
Do you look for tools to help them succeed with what they're doing?
We can use tools all the way across the board. From some people, like say pamphlets, some people use phone apps, you know, sometimes, and especially in this nowadays, there's a lot of people can't walk around the out their door without having the phone in their hand. So we try to basically see whatever tool is going to help them.
So basically you've got some experimentation in there. Let's try this. Let's see how this works. If this doesn't work, we'll try something else.
Right. It's like just like when you're coaching the kids. You know, not every kid on the team is going to be needed the same. Some people's going to be a little more the loving approach, and some people need a little more stern approach. So we're going to have to adjust our learning style and our coaching style the same way.
You mentioned meeting with them maybe once a week. Are the meetings to sort of help hold people accountable to you getting feedback to see what's working and what's not? Are you sort of helping hold them accountable to maybe the plan that you've created together?
The first visit, we take approximately an hour. Just gives us a good time to get to know the patient, know what their needs are. During that time, we like to set short-term goals and then a long-term goal. The follow-up meetings would be then to kind of check in and see how they are reaching those goals. If they're struggling, maybe we can offer some more tips to help them succeed. If they've met that goal, maybe we made the goal too easy. We can adjust that goal so that they have more to work for. So it does help with accountability. It seems like people do better when they know that they're going to have someone check in on them. If our appointment is too stretched out and they run into difficulty, we're always available for them to reach out by phone. If there's an ongoing issue or an issue that arises, we can take that opportunity to reach out to their primary care doctor and address that issue immediately instead of them putting it off until they get in to see the doctor. So we give them a lot of options by just being available.
Other than the obvious that people are going to feel better, is this helping the patient in other ways? Because it seems like some of these things, like maybe losing weight, that could be a personal goal that might not be related to any particular crisis. But then some of these diseases sound like maybe you're helping avert a crisis. Do you kind of feel that your work does that sometimes?
These goals, they're goals that the patient sets. We don't set these goals. It's a lot easier for me to sit back and set goals for somebody else. I want them to have buy-in. They need to set those goals so when they don't make it, they feel more accountable for that. So,
yeah, it was something that was important to them.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense.
Exactly. And so that's what we got to make sure that we do. So sometimes when you do one relates to the other, like, for example, losing weight, well, that's going to help with your heart. That's going to help with hypertension. That's going to help with diabetes. That's going to help with a lot of different diseases, not just one. It's going to help a lot of different ones, not just one.
I'd like to get a view of how people wind up getting directed to you.
Some of our referrals will come directly from the PCP when a patient's been in there, as we mentioned, a new diagnosis.
Like a primary care
like
physician?
Like a primary care, yeah. And like we said, a new diagnosis, or the patient mentions they want to learn about a new diet or how to eat healthier, how to buy groceries on a budget. But then we also will probably be receiving referrals from those patients that have had a recent hospital stay, who maybe are struggling with managing their chronic disease. We also have a new paramedicine program. Jason is our person who can go out and visit the patient in their home if the doctor, the hospitalist on the floor deems that it would be appropriate and beneficial to the patient. He could follow up with them after discharge, see that they're doing okay, and then if Jason feels that they need further education, we can then tap into that referral source and also see them through that referral.
So tell me, I didn't hear this. Did you just say that you are reviving the house call?
It's very similar to that, yes. We can go out and check. They can do, Jason makes a phone call usually a couple days after discharge once he receives a referral, and we'll check and see how the patient's doing, make sure they got their medications, if they understand their meds that they're supposed to be taking. If he and the patient agrees, he can come out and maybe check, do a vital sign check, just make sure they've got their oxygen set up if they were, you know, sent home on oxygen. It's curtailed to the patient what they need. So it's important that at discharge, you know, the patient, their family members, their advocates are kind of voicing concerns that they have. It's a whole, it all fits together as one.
It's not in pieces.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, you know, this sounds like this is much more centered on the patient. Patient directed, much more personal, even care in the home. And you're working together as on the same team with the paramedicine program. It sounds like this is almost a whole new model for healthcare and, you know, especially in the area of prevention, or maybe at least stopping things at a certain level so that they don't get any worse. And that sounds like a very new type of healthcare. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's basically, I think that's what we think, especially here in Rush County and really across the United States. It's kind of like the old adage of teaching somebody how to fish instead of giving them a fish. And so we can teach people how to manage their disease and know when and how to know the triggers and how to stay out of the hospital and how to stay out of getting into trouble with the disease. We can equip them into living a productive and more confident life. And that's something we're trying to do. We're trying to give them, empower them to give them confidence. Just because you have this chronic problem doesn't mean you have chronic, you have to hide in a shell. And so giving them that confidence that they can live a regular, normal life with a chronic disease, that's what we're here to do.
That sounds absolutely fantastic, because I think some of these chronic illnesses, just the word is even scary. You know, to hear the word, much less to find out that, wow, that word applies to me. And to feel that there are people here who can give you help and help you take control of that disease, and that you're going to be able to have a life. It's going to be okay. You know, you may have to make some changes, but it's going to work out. And I think that sounds absolutely fantastic. It must be very rewarding work.
It is. Yeah, I think it is. That's what we're here for.
That sounds great. Do you find that most of your patients are taking these illnesses seriously?
We always hear these diseases, and a lot, I think all of us have seen and hear people with these chronic conditions, COPD and CHF, which is chronic heart failure, congestive heart failure, and diabetes, and a lot of these major chronic conditions. I think we all known or have known people who have these, and so we hear them all the time, and we kind of get desensitized to these names,
right?
And it's kind of like, if you know, for the seasoned veterans in life that are out there, you know, it's like when you first heard the swear word on TV, you know, that was kind of a shock value, and so, but now, I mean, they hear it now. It's no big deal, because we've gotten desensitized to it. And I think that's the same scenario. Kids now, they hear their cartoons have swear words. I think people now have heard those terms so much that they've kind of gotten desensitized to it. And so that's kind of where I think we are trying to educate these people and not get too caught up in the word and try to understand that picture and teach them how to be more educated and learn how to live with the disease and take it seriously and not just blow it off.
I think that you must have some patients, I would imagine, who really succeed and other patients who don't succeed so much. So do you have any idea of what some of the factors are in, you know, when a patient comes in, things that make them more likely to succeed, things that make them less likely to succeed? What's your opinion on that?
Some of that, I think, we both feel would probably be their confidence level in how they feel about the disease, how much they understand. I sometimes use the example, you know, if I'm prepared, I know it may happen, but as long as I know what to do, then I don't feel as uncomfortable about it. So, you know, I use the example, if I am allergic to a bee sting, well, I can't avoid every place that there are bees. Sometimes they're going to be in places I don't know. But if I can be prepared, if I know that I need to have my allergy pen with me just in case I come across something, then I can still go out. I can enjoy gardening. I can enjoy planting my flowers and just be prepared that if I were to get stung, that I have what I need in order to fix the problem, you know, if it were
so
to happen.
You've got a plan, yeah. Basically.
We have an action plan. And so many of these disease processes, there are action plans. They break them into stages. You know, for a patient with the COPD, the chronic pulmonary disease, stage one, you kind of tell the person, hey, evaluate yourself on your best day. This is how you feel when you are in your best health. Stage two is almost like a yellow light on a stoplight. Well, you know, I used to be able to walk the entire Tractor Supply store on a good day, but now I'm kind of having to take little breaks in there. That's your flag that, hey, things are starting to change. Red light, you can't get out of bed without really huffing and puffing. So you can kind of break it in scenarios that they understand and build them their confidence so that they can see those trigger points and know when to get help and hopefully get the help sooner and avoid some of those admissions to the hospital. We can get them scheduled in to see their primary care physician. They can avoid triggers. They start to learn what triggers those causes and can avoid those circumstances too.
That sounds like a really good approach. Are most of the services that you provide covered by insurance?
Right now, everything that we do right now, there's no cost to the patient. And right now, as far as we know, nothing's going to be charged to the patient. But that's still something in progress. But right now, there's no cost to the patient for any of these services that we're providing.
Well, that sounds fantastic. So you have a new model of healthcare that's a lot more personalized, and people don't have to pay for this new and improved model of healthcare. It just doesn't get much better than that. Maybe I should be thinking about how I could use your services. Maybe a little help with the old diet.
We would be happy to see you.
Oh, thank you. So can you tell me what are the most common illnesses that you're dealing with?
Diabetes is probably one of the top ones. Congestive heart failure and the COPD are probably our top three that we see here in Rush County.
Okay. And is that typical of the entire United States, or is this more of a regional thing?
No, I think a lot of times that seems to be your top ones right now that we have seen. We're looking at some of the other insurance providers, and that seems to be across the board one of the higher ones that we're able to take care of. Obviously, there's other diseases out there that are more specialty, like cancer and stuff that we're not dealing with. But things that are preventative, we can do. The preventative disease, those are more preventative diseases that we can do.
Okay. And then you also deal just strictly with prevention, right?
Strictly with this prevention, yes. And then we just do prevention and help people along. We help with weight management as well if we needed to, just a little bit as far as diet-wise and exercise.
And this is children, too. It's not strictly adults. We can.
Oh, that's good to know. Well, what do you do with children?
We have, we could give referrals, as, you know, if there's a parent diet, you know, their kid does mm-hmm. not eat, a picky eater, we could help with that. We could. Child obesity is an issue as well. We can,
yes.
You know, healthy choices. Sometimes just getting it from someone other than a mom or dad makes a difference in their approach.
I've had that experience, unfortunately, with my children.
So we're the entire population. We are not restricted to one age group at all. We are here for everybody.
Well, it sounds like you have a pretty exciting and challenging job.
Yes, we do.
But very rewarding.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming today and sharing all of this information.
Thanks for having us.